presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the vastness that it is there, to give a particular command having many objectives in mind. So this tradition from Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha, considering the salah, is this, where she says that the salah has been made incumbent upon us for what? To remove and to cleanse us from being ostentatious, from having kibr, from seeing ourselves as being something. Why? For when a person prays, he understands that he has complete dependence, that he is a slave of a higher power. When a person goes into sujood, when he goes into that prostration, he understands that my entire existence is nothing from me, except that it is connected to an infinite and absolute source. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to see salah in this manner, and to make us of those who pray a proper prayer. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
This one lay. Bring us on from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
As ceremonies are underway in Iran to mark the second anniversary of the U.S. assassination of the country's top commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, and senior Iraqi commander Abu Mahdi al-Mohandas, the world is realizing more and more what this martyr stood for. Iran will never forget the U.S. and Israeli crimes in this assassination, and has urged the U.N. Security Council to hold both responsible for this crime. This edition of The Spotlight, we will look at the significance of martyr Soleimani and his impact on the world stage.
2 years on since the U.S.'s assassination of top Iranian military commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, made headlines, and Iranians still grieve his loss. On the second anniversary of the incident, thousands gathered at Tehran's Grand Mausoleum to pay tribute to him. Addressing the gathering, Iran's President Ibrahim Raisi vowed to bring those behind the incident to justice.
If Trump and Pompeo are not tried in a fair court for the criminal act of assassinating Lieutenant Soleimani, Muslims will take our martyr's revenge.
General Soleimani was the commander of the Quds Force of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, which is in charge of conducting overseas operations. He, together with commander of Iraq's popular mobilization units, Abu Mahdi al-Mohandas, was assassinated in January 2020 in a U.S. air raid outside Baghdad International Airport, on a direct order from then-U.S. President Donald Trump. Soleimani is well known for dismantling Daesh terrorists in Iraq in 2017. He also spearheaded major operations in Syria that resulted in liberating key areas from Daesh. This made him rise to fame in the region as the mastermind of the fight against terrorism.
Lieutenant Soleimani did not allow the terrorists to approach our borders. We owe our security and stability to his sacrifices.
If it wasn't for Lieutenant General Soleimani, the entire region would have collapsed and fallen under Daesh control. Not only Iranians, but the people of the region are indebted to him.
The U.S. thought in vain that by assassinating Qasem Soleimani, it would stop his fight against terrorism. But in fact, the incident gave rise to a united front in the region against Washington, and that's what led to the humiliating ouster of American troops from the region.
Iran says it is seriously following up on its legal pursuit to prosecute those behind Soleimani's assassination. Iran and Iraq have recently formed a joint investigation committee comprising judicial experts from both countries. Based on the latest findings of the legal team, more than 120 people have been identified in connection with Soleimani's assassination. Former U.S. President Donald Trump tops the list.
These people say by assassinating General Soleimani, the United States tried to disrupt the regional fight against terrorism, something which they say put Washington on a confrontational course with the countries in West Asia and marked the beginning of its exit from the region. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Our guest joining us for this edition of The Spotlight, journalist and political analyst Elijah Magnier, joins us from Brussels. Also joining us, international human rights lawyer Edward Corrigan, who joins us from London, Ontario.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
All right, I'd like to welcome you both, and I'd like to first start with you, Edward Corrigan. And the reason why I want to start with you is because I want you to set the stage and tell us the type of crime that has taken place here, or that took place, which led to the assassination of these two martyrs, General Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis. Excuse me, because there might be some out there that have been told through various media outlets that this was justified in the words of the U.S., for example, but you tell us the legality of what took place, or the illegality, I should say, of what took place.
Well, in my view, it clearly is an illegal act. In fact, it's much more severe than just an extrajudicial execution, because General Soleimani was there at the invitation of the Iraqi government. It was an official diplomatic mission. And the Americans, assassinated him, but also the deputy leader of the Iraq Popular Mobilization Units, which ostensibly was an ally of the United States in the war against the Islamic State and Daesh. So it's even, politically and legally, this is much worse than just an assassination, which of course is terrible in itself. You're violating the sovereignty of Iraq, and the Iraqi parliament a few days later unanimously adopted a resolution calling for the removal of all American troops from Iraq. So this is, at a very, very high level, you're violating the diplomatic sovereignty of not only Iran, but also Iraq itself, which is, again, it's an ally of the United States. They're fighting the war against Daesh, but it really exposes the fact that the United States and its allies, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, and at one time Qatar, were funding this Islamic State against Iraq and against Syria. And, these are our American allies.
Right.
There has been, I can't really think of another assassination, for very few assassinations that's high profile of this and have violated as many laws, but also are so politically stupid. The Americans think that they're above the law.
Right.
There's no accountability for them. They can say what they want. There's been no legitimate reason given that I have seen, but for justify the assassination. They said, it was a preemptive strike. Well, but this is premeditated murder.
Sure.
And you cannot assassinate One of the top leaders of Iran and also of Iraq at the same time.
Sure.
So, you know, the arrogance of the Americans here is simply incredible. There should be action at the International Criminal Court, also the UN Security Council, but of course it deals with the veto. But they're also calling for the General Assembly of the United Nations to issue a resolution to commemorate this horrific act and to maintain the memory of General Soleimani and, of course, how he led the fight against the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. So, you know,
sure.
He is a very successful military commander, which is why I think the Americans wanted him dead.
Well, yeah, these actions should take place. We're going to get to that. But Elijah Magner, there's a line here that is very subtle, but yet it's huge in the implications. And that is the way that not only through media spin, Qasem Soleimani, martyr Qasem Soleimani, is painted not for the hero that he has been, including Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, but also the fact that it was the U.S.'s right in which Israel also collaborated with the U.S. in its assassination, because they were not a force for the good fighting the evil Daesh terrorists. And this is given media spin, and they're trying very hard, Western media, to portray a negative image of them. Do you think they were successful? And why is it that they're trying to, so to speak, cover up what they have created in some sense?
Thank you for having me. Of course they were not successful, because the Prime Minister Adel Abdel Mahdi at that time in January 2020 said that Qasem Soleimani was an envoy coming to Iraq to his invitation and to his call for two reasons. First, to mediate between the Americans and Iran, and second, a message between Saudi Arabia and Iran. Secondly, Brigadier General Qasem Soleimani was also an advisor to the Iraqi government, an official advisor, as recognized by Foreign Minister Ebrahim Jaafari at that time, who asked the support of Iran against ISIS to defeat the terrorist group. So he was an official envoy from a country to another country working against terrorism and counterterrorism. Now, after the assassination, and when Donald Trump left office, we heard how he was disappointed that Benjamin Netanyahu dragged him to assassinate General Soleimani and did not go to war against Iran. So it was obvious that Benjamin Netanyahu was acting as the advisor to Donald Trump, because Trump was completely incompetent and unaware of the consequences of committing such a crime in a non-lawful way against a sovereign country when the U.S. forces were not supposed to be combat troop in Iraq. Also, there is a big blame on Iraq on different aspects, because Soleimani was their guest and was working to support the Iraqi government and the Iraqi sovereignty and to give back the territory that was taken by ISIS. And also, it is up to the Iraqi to defend their guest and their envoy, particularly when this person represents a country that was supporting Iraq for free. Also, it is also the responsibility of the Iraqi to expel the American, because they have violated the mandate they are in Iraq for. Secondly, they committed a crime without a consultation with the Iraqi government. Third, they implicated Iraq and Iran into a war on the Iraqi arena, where perhaps they thought Iran is not going to react, and they were disappointed by the Iranian reaction. And also, we saw the parliament that asking the Iraqi forces to leave, the U.S. forces to leave the country, and they did not abide by the parliament resolution with 173 MPs mm-hmm. who voted for this to expel all the U.S. forces from the country. So all that is obvious to all the observers and world leaders. So it is no longer possible to hide this crime and to yet add it, as your guest rightly said, to all the unlawful act and crime of the United States.
Sure. Well, people seem to forget, and they have a short memory when it comes down to it, Edward Corrigan. And I'd like to refresh, maybe your memory too, I'm sorry to say, but overall, because mine was refreshed, but more to the wider world, in terms of the support that these terrorists were given. There's no denying, there's a fact that Saudi Arabia was directly supporting the terrorist group, Jabhat al-Nusra. There's no denying that Israel had been treated injured Daesh terrorists in the Golan Heights. The picture was there, former Prime Minister Netanyahu. There's no denying, New York Times, $1 billion secret CIA war in Syria, which died and was trying to get these terrorists to fight against the democratically elected government of President Assad. So you have the U.S. involved, you have Saudis involved, Israel involved, and yet you have the ones that were fighting them, namely, in this case, the point Qasem Soleimani martyred, to be assassinated. So where's the justice here?
Well, there's absolutely no justice. It's highly criminal. But it really exposes the role of the United States and its allies, Israel, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, in supporting Daesh and using the Islamic State as a way to destabilize the region and to do damage and to Iraqi society and to try to destroy Syria. You know, the former Qatar Prime Minister, publicly announced, said that, you know, that Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates were the main financial supporters behind the Islamic State. And while the Americans pretend to be fighting the Islamic State, a lot of the time they're bombing the Iraqis, Syrians, Hezbollah, even Russian soldiers that were there at the invitation of the Syrian government. So there's it really, it boggles the mind that they could do this and think that there was little or no consequences they would have to face. And around the world, this is seen as a horrific crime, yet another example of American arrogance and use of violence and assassination to accomplish its political goals. But the American media and the Western media is not really addressing the core issue, which is American support for Daesh, the creation of Al-Qaeda, and the funding and arming of Daesh and Islamic State by the United States and Israel, but also its lackeys, the Saudi Arabians and United Arab Emirates. So this, they still say, oh, we're fighting Daesh, we're fighting the Islamic State, but when you look at the actions of the Americans, who they bomb, who they kill, they have been providing military support, logistical support, communication support, using satellites and everything else to help Daesh fight the democratically elected government of Syria, the democratically elected government of Iraq, and of course, to try to destabilize the region. And, this has cost the lives of hundreds of thousands of people and done untold damage. But even the Americans have spent $2 trillion on this war, and, when the only thing accomplishment that they can count to is that they helped destroy Syria and Iraq, and that is simply unconscionable.
Well, let's see what Iran's president has said on this occasion, Elijah Magnier, and I'm going to quote him. Two statements that he said: the aggressor and the main assassin, the then president of the U.S., must face justice and retribution. That if Trump and former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo are not tried in a fair court for Soleimani's assassination, Muslims will take revenge. What is your interpretation of what he has said?
Well, what Pompeo told us, that he lies all the time. Therefore, we can't take anything he say for face value. Also, we see how Pompeo imposed sanctions on the International Criminal Court in The Hague. Therefore, it is an administration that rebuffed all the law that exists, because they prevent any legal organization, even that was created by the U.S. itself, to condemn the American soldier for their act and the American administration for committed crimes overseas. So, as we all are very much aware today, that this U.S. administration, the previous one and the one before it, and throughout the years always, the administrations did not respect any international law. Now, it is obvious that the Iraqis want to revenge their leader Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis and their guest Qasem Soleimani, because they were killed in Iraq, and it is up to them to react for this killing and to make sure that the responsible who bragged about it and announced their responsibility will pay the heavy price equivalent to the value of these two commanders, which is a lot. I mean, we're talking about the people who are responsible, who were responsible for defeating ISIS and liberating Iraq and Syria and part of Lebanon, for the support that Soleimani offered to
Indeed.
The act of the resistance to free these three countries from the terrorist organization that General Mike Flynn told his boss, Barack Obama, at that time, that ISIS was growing in Iraq and going to go to Syria, and America decided to close both eyes on this fact.
Indeed. Well, one thing that is in line with what Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi has said, Edward Corrigan, is what Iran's leader actually said, in a sense, it parallels that, in which he said, Marjane Soleimani is more dangerous to the enemy than General Soleimani, because the likes of Soleimani will rise in the future. I mean, if you think about what is said there, it poses the question then that this assassination, this targeted killing, as you said, the extrajudicial killing that took place, didn't it in turn jeopardize the national security of Israel in particular in this region, since it was complicit in what the U.S. decided to do, which then in a sense mirrors other acts that the U.S. has done in other countries, where it comes back to haunt it?
Well, they think that they're above the law and that they're unaccountable and nobody can touch them. In Israel, there was a book published, I guess, a little over a year ago, which documented 2,000 assassinations that the Mossad conducted. And this is, you know, this is staggering that, you know, that a country would go running around assassinating 2,000 people. The United States has also, and through the CIA and other intelligence agencies, has been involved with numerous assassinations, coups, overthrowing of the government. And, you know, none of this is discussed in the mainstream press in the United States or even Canada, and to a lesser extent in Western Europe. So, you know, there's this, you know, selective blindness, I guess the legal term would be, and a cover-up of all this criminality. But, you know, the United States was funding and arming and supporting Daesh and the Islamic State against the sovereign countries in the Middle East and using it as a way of destabilizing these countries, which is, you know, a very, you know, vicious agenda, but ultimately doesn't work. It just creates people, you know, hate and resentment from the peoples of the region. You know, the Iraqi parliament unanimously, you know, called for the removal of U.S. troops, and the generals said, okay, we'll leave, but then the Americans backtracked on that, and they still haven't left Iraq. So, you know, they're there in flagrant violation mm-hmm. of Iraq's sovereignty and also at the wishes of the Iraqi government and the Iraqi people.
Sure.
And, you know, this is really crazy thinking that they think they get away with this, and this somehow is going to help their security interests or Israel's security interests. It's not. It makes things much worse.
Well, Iran's President Elijah Magnier, in conclusion, has said that the most pressing issue for Marjane Soleimani was how to repel the enemy from the region and liberate the region. Do you think that this region will be liberated from, for example, the U.S. and the destruction that it has caused?
Qasem Soleimani is a man who represent an ideology, a mission, a task, and he represent the country. So it is in the constitution of Iran, in its Article 132, to support the oppressed population in the world. The oppressed population have been supported by Iran, and Iran is supporting people who want to liberate their country. Therefore, the assassination of Qasem Soleimani created a school where there are thousands of other Qasem Soleimani who will walk on the same path to support the population who want to liberate their country from the oppressor and the occupation. This is happening in Gaza, in Lebanon, in Syria, in Iraq, in Yemen, in Venezuela, and any country who wants to push away the U.S. hegemony and the unlawful act of the Americans. So yes, this is a school. The death of Qasem Soleimani is just one event, and there are thousands of others who will continue the same work of Soleimani.
Thank you very much for that. We appreciate it. With that, we come to an end for this edition of The Spotlight, and we thank our guest Elijah Magnier from Brussels, journalist and political analyst. Thank you. And thank you, Edward Corrigan, international human rights lawyer who spoke to us from London, Ontario. And we thank you, Fumiko Vatapoe, the entire team. It's goodbye until next time.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Dear listeners, hello everyone. Welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and in this edition, we will try to have a closer look at the 25th chapter, Suratul Furqan. First, let's just listen to the verses we're going to talk about in this program, and we'll be back shortly. So stay with us.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
انظر كيف ضربوا لك الأمثال فضلوا فلا يستطيعون سبيلا
Look how they strike for you comparisons, but they have strayed, so they cannot find a way.
Brothers and sisters, we started talking about the ninth verse of chapter Furqan. انظر كيف ضربوا لك الأمثال فضلوا فلا يستطيعون سبيلا And behold, how they strike similitudes for you, so they have gone astray and they will not be able to find the right path. You may remember prior to this verse, the unbelievers and the pagans tried to seek different pretexts and reproaches for Prophet Muhammad, and they argued against him, claiming, what kind of a prophet is this that is walking in the streets and in the actually the markets? He does not have an angel accompanying him to be a warner with him, or he does not have any treasures. And he does not have any gardens to eat of it. أو يلقى إليه كنز أو تكون له جنة يأكل منها. So this cannot be the true prophet we're seeking. In this verse, the ninth verse, however, the Quran says, "انظر كيف ضربوا لك الأمثال." Behold, how they strike similitudes for you, but they have gone astray. فضلوا. In the previous program, we tried to talk about the answers to their pretext and their arguments. And we said that it's not necessary for a prophet to be one of the angels, and it's not necessary for him to be accompanied by an angel. Of course, if he were an angel, the aim of giving people the practical examples in their lives would not be fulfilled. And he does not need the angel when he has a great miracle such as the Holy Quran. And by being in the markets, by being among other people and going to markets, this will cause him to associate with people more. This will make the people know him better. And there would be a kind of connection between them.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
work. In this
work.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom.
The pagans should know that they are totally deviated if they think that having a kind of treasure means nearness to the Almighty Allah. So nearness to Almighty Allah does not depend on wealth and money. And actually, the prophets have come all the way from the Almighty Allah to tell us that the value of man does not depend on the treasures and the wealth, but it depends on knowledge and piety. Furthermore, according to what kind of criterion did they call him insane and bewitched? According to history, his great revolution and his foundation of Islamic civilization were extraordinary. How can he be given such ridiculous labels? Unless we say that breaking idols and not blindly following the ancestors is a reason of insanity. So, let's refer back to the verse itself. انظر, behold, كيف ضربوا لك الأمثال, how they strike similitudes for you. According to what we said, now it gets clear that the word amthal here, or similitudes, especially with regard of the context, means those groundless and meaningless words we talked about part of them in the previous verses. Using this word is perhaps because of the matter that they uttered their words in the form of truth, similitude, and like logical reasons, while it was really not so. After all that, a question now arises, that why is it said, فلا يستطيعون سبيلا. فضلوا, but they have gone astray, فلا يستطيعون سبيلا. So they shall not be able to find a way to the truth. The answer is that man can find the path of truth if he wills, if he himself wants the truth. So, but the one who has already made decision by wrong and deviating prejudgments that originate from ignorance, that originate from stubbornness, not only does not find the truth, but also stands against the truth itself. There is one point regarding this verse to be discussed in the next program. Thank you for staying with us, dear listeners. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Said Puraza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Said Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
After almost 140 days of his hunger strike, the 40-year-old Palestinian prisoner Hisham Abu Hawash is in imminent danger, facing the risk of sudden death at any moment. Representatives of Palestinian factions and prisoners' advocacy groups in the occupied Ramallah took to the streets again, sounding the alarm over the health condition of Abu Hawash, who is protesting his illegal administrative detention without charge or trial.
My brother Hisham could die at any moment. This is according to medical reports by the doctors who have directly examined Hisham. We are really worried about his health. Israel is using a new form of assassination against our brothers.
The International Committee of the Red Cross has meanwhile issued a statement demanding Israel to immediately release Abu Hawash. Israel claims it keeps some Palestinians behind bars without disclosing sensitive information that could expose valuable sources. In the case of Abu Hawash, Israeli intelligence claims he's an activist of the jihad movement. However, it was not able to provide explicit evidence in support of its allegations. Palestinian human rights organizations say it's yet another attempt to bring Palestinian prisoners to their knees and prevent them from being engaged in any form of struggle.
My brother Hisham could die at any moment. This is according to medical reports by the doctors who have directly examined him. We are really worried about his health. Israel is using a new form of assassination against our brothers.
Last month, the Israeli regime accepted to release hunger-striking prisoner Kaid al-Fasfus after 131 days of his protest, where his release was seen as yet another form of victory. As Israel reportedly holds over 4,500 Palestinian prisoners, hundreds of them are languishing behind bars without charge or trial under the illegal so-called administrative detention. Palestinians pray that Abu Hawash's life could be saved before it's too late. Abu Hawash, who's literally on the verge of death, has said before his health severely deteriorated that he will continue his hunger strike until victory. That is, according to him, his release or his martyrdom. Mona Kandil, occupied Ramallah.
Inside the former U.S. Embassy in Tehran, Iranian judicial experts gathered to reveal the details of a probe into the U.S. assassination of Iranian top military commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. General Soleimani was the commander of the Quds Force of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, which is in charge of conducting overseas operations. He was assassinated in January 2020 in a U.S. drone strike outside Baghdad International Airport on a direct order from then U.S. President Donald Trump.
The U.S. justifies its crime by branding it as self-defense or targeted killing. There is no such legal term in the international law. It is an assassination and cannot be justified by fake terms. It's an extrajudicial murder which violates the UN resolutions 1368 and 1370. Furthermore, based on the Chicago Convention, the use of UAVs in another sovereign country requires a permission of that country. Iraq says it did not give such a permission to the U.S. to carry out the strike.
Iran and Iraq have formed a joint investigation committee comprised of Iraqi and Iranian judicial experts. Based on the latest findings of the legal team, more than 120 people have been identified in connection with General Soleimani's assassination. Former U.S. President Donald Trump tops the list.
General Soleimani was on a mission to Iraq, a mission that concerns the fight against terrorism. The Convention on Special Missions protects the rights of General Soleimani, but Washington breached that convention as well. So all these violations of international law are considered a crime, and we are taking the case to international judicial bodies to penalize the perpetrators.
General Soleimani holds a reputation for eliminating Daesh terrorists in Iraq in 2017. He also led major operations in Syria that led to the recapturing of key areas from the terror group. That's why his assassination is viewed as a huge loss for the region and a big win for the terrorists, something which experts say leads to a safe interpretation that Washington must be on the terrorists' team.
2 years have passed since General Soleimani was assassinated, and Iran is still as resolute to prosecute those behind the incident. Iran's judiciary calls the culprits the terrorists' comrades, saying it will not stop until all perpetrators are brought to justice. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
In a press conference in the capital Sana'a, Yemen's Eye for Humanity Center for Rights and Development released its new report on the Saudi crimes committed against Yemenis during 2021. The report highlights the number of victims of the Saudi air attacks and the destruction of the country's infrastructure.
Recently, the Saudi-led coalition has escalated its raids against civilian facilities and residential areas crowded with civilians in Yemen, and tried to justify this by saying that there were military activities in those areas, which was not true. We monitor all the crimes of the Saudi-led coalition and the victims who fall in Saudi airstrikes and mortar shelling.
The report says Saudi warplanes have launched over 9,900 airstrikes against civilian facilities across Yemen last year, killing 387 civilians, including 96 children, and injuring hundreds more. In a previous report, the human rights group said more than 43,000 civilians had been hurt or killed in relentless airstrikes across Yemen since Saudi Arabia launched the war on its southern neighbor in 2015. It said nearly 4,000 children were among those killed.
As people around the world celebrate the New Year with festivals and joyful events, Yemenis enter a new year of war and siege imposed on their country by Saudi Arabia. People here believe that the years-long resistance will eventually bring Riyadh to justice for its crimes in Yemen. Abdulatif Roshali, Sana.
France has assumed the rotating presidency of the Council of the European Union for the next 6 months, with Emmanuel Macron promising to make the world's largest common market into a more influential and independent bloc. Yet the European Union begins 2022 beset by major difficulties: the open wound of Brexit, marginalization in global geopolitics, an uncertain post-corona economic future coming on the heels of a lost decade of economic growth, and deep divisions on the issues of immigration, right-wing economics, and relations with Moscow. The European Union appears to be at a crossroads. With Angela Merkel finally stepping down, there is no clear leader or figurehead. Emmanuel Macron wants to assume her mantle, but many say that his liberal strongman approach to the Yellow Vests has reinforced perceptions that the EU is not just non-democratic, but anti-democratic. Historically, no country's elite has been more pro-Europe than in France, and no French leader has been more pro-EU than Macron. However, analysts remind that Macron only has the power to push the EU's agenda in a certain direction and not to decide policy unilaterally, as he has often done in France.
It's a bit egotistical and ethnocentric to think that France will be able to accomplish anything more than Slovenia, Sweden, or any of the other previous heads of the European Union. So, in the matter of a common defense policy, of a green energy transition, of economic regulation, of ending economic stagnation, Macron won't be able to accomplish in 6 months anything which Brussels hasn't been able to achieve in the past 10 years.
With a tightly contested presidential election looming in April, it seems certain that Macron's continental-sized ambitions will be constrained by domestic politics.
C'est plus un obstacle.
I think Macron will find the rotating presidency to actually be an obstacle to his re-election ambitions. Representing the interests of 70 million Frenchmen and also 450 million citizens of the European Union, and also being a candidate running for re-election, are three very different hats to wear. He will find himself in many conflicting positions.
The philosophy of Angela Merkel was marked by avoiding tough solutions to social questions while also demanding right-wing economic changes. As the EU emerges into a very different post-corona world, Europe may be demanding different solutions and possibly even different leaders before France's rotating presidency is over. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
"2021 has come to an end, but the battle for peace and justice still continues here. In the Indian-administered Kashmir, people are hopeless more than ever as things have slipped from bad to worse. The Indian government said Kashmir will return to normalcy when it abrogated its special status in August 2019. But after that, the region has seen an outburst of violence. Media reports say that over the last 3 years, nearly 900 people have been killed in the region. Out of these casualties, 580 were militants, 180 were government forces, and 125 were civilians. People here say they are not hopeful that the central government will bring them justice and treat them fairly.
People are often excited on New Year's Eve, but we are an exception. We are fearful of what might happen to us the next year, because this year was full of bloodshed. We only seek peace through dialogue.
We had terrifying experiences in 2021. So many lives were lost. The region's unemployment rate is highest in India. Some decisions were taken against the people of Kashmir, which were not expected. Now we seek nothing but peace. 3 decades of strife is enough.
Following India's move to cancel the region's partial autonomy, Kashmir has witnessed many changes coming without the consent of its people. For example, people who are not permanent residents of Kashmir were barred from purchasing property up until 2 years ago. But now, all Indians can buy property in the region. People here say the room for dissent is limited. Those who criticize policies of the government are frequently detained, so people of Kashmir are forced to be silent. In 2021, the region saw around 275 incidents of bloodshed, including civilians, militants, and government forces. Estimates say 189 pro-independence fighters have been killed in 2021, but authorities say challenges are still there.
Hybrid militancy is the biggest challenge for the year 2022. A major achievement in 2021 was the peaceful burial of Syed Ali Gilani. 168 militants are currently active in Kashmir.
The Indian-administered Kashmir has been a bone of contention between India and Pakistan since the partition of the subcontinent in 1947. The two countries claim the region in full but rule it in parts.
More than 3 decades of low-intensity conflict in Kashmir has exhausted the region socially as well as economically. Almost every household in the region has suffered losses. New Year is no time for them to celebrate. Shahanabad, Indian-administered Kashmir.
This gathering in Iran's town of Shahrareh is a tribute to a man who's known as the father of national security in Iran, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. Ahead of the second anniversary of his assassination, Iranian people and senior officials gathered to commemorate him and mourn his loss.
General Soleimani is no longer with us, but his legacy will continue across the generations to come. His assassination is a huge miscalculation on the part of the US. He was an influential axis in the region, and his assassination led to the humiliating ouster of American troops from Iraq and then Afghanistan.
General Soleimani was the commander of IRGC's Quds Force, which is in charge of conducting overseas operations. He, together with commander of Iraq's popular mobilization units, Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, was killed in 2020 in a U.S. air raid outside Baghdad International Airport on a direct order from then-U.S. President Donald Trump.
General Soleimani was the spearhead of the fight against terrorism in our region. So by assassinating him, the U.S. sought to dispose of him to allow the terrorists to roam freely in the region to serve the interests of the American government.
By assassinating General Soleimani, the U.S. thought in vain that it will stop his anti-terror activities. But in fact, Soleimani is still alive in the hearts of millions of Iranians who will continue his path stronger than ever.
General Soleimani holds a reputation for dislodging Daesh terrorists in Iraq in 2017. He also led major operations in Syria that resulted in the recapturing of key areas from Daesh. His efforts made him known as the nemesis of the terrorists in the region. In 2020, millions of people in Iraq and Iran took part in his funeral ceremony to pay tribute to him and bid him farewell.
2 years into the incident, Iranians still mourn the loss of General Soleimani. They say they will not forget his endeavors in the fight against terrorism, something which earned him the title of a national hero and the guarantor of regional security. Yusuf Jalali from the town of Ray.
Iran's lead delegate to the Vienna talks, Deputy Foreign Minister Ali Bagheri Kani, says there's been relatively good progress over the past few days in the negotiations aimed at restoring the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the JCPOA.
The main focus of the negotiations was sanctions removal. We had several meetings with the EU coordinator and the three European signatories, both on verification and guarantees.
Iran says it will go back to its nuclear commitments only after it verifies the full removal of US sanctions. Tehran has also demanded guarantees that the US will not withdraw from the JCPOA again or impose sanctions that violate the deal. A European source close to the negotiations says all participants agree that verification and assurances have to be reflected in the final document, but that there are still questions on how that is possible. So are these issues going to create major obstacles in the way of a final agreement?
Yes, it's a major problem because these European diplomats know quite well how verification can take place. It's not something strange. If the Iranians cannot use the banking system because behind the scenes the Americans are threatening banks, then that's a violation of the JCPOA.
Russia's lead delegate Mikhail Olyanov said he believed an agreement could be achieved in the first half of February, adding that although the discussions were difficult, there was steady progress.
General impression, business-like atmosphere, positive trends, recognized by everybody, by all participants. We need to be patient, persistent in our efforts, and we will overcome all the problems.
Informal consultations are set to continue within the framework of the Vienna talks. Homa Lizgi, Vienna.
Years on since the U.S.'s assassination of top Iranian military commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, made headlines, and Iranians still grieve his loss. On the second anniversary of the incident, thousands gathered at Tehran's Grand Mausoleum to pay tribute to him. Addressing the gathering, Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi vowed to bring those behind the incident to justice.
If Trump and Pompeo are not tried in a fair court for the criminal act of assassinating Lieutenant Soleimani, Muslims will take our martyr's revenge.
General Soleimani was the commander of the Quds Force of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, which is in charge of conducting overseas operations. He, together with commander of Iraq's popular mobilization units, Abu Mahdi al-Muhandas, was assassinated in January 2020 in a U.S. air raid outside Baghdad International Airport, on a direct order from then-U.S. President Donald Trump. Soleimani is well known for dismantling Daesh terrorists in Iraq in 2017. He also spearheaded major operations in Syria that resulted in liberating key areas from Daesh. This made him rise to fame in the region as the mastermind of the fight against terrorism.
Lieutenant Soleimani did not allow the terrorists to approach our borders. We owe our security and stability to his sacrifices.
If it wasn't for Lieutenant General Soleimani, the entire region would have collapsed and fallen under Daesh control. Not only Iranians, but the people of the region are indebted to him.
The U.S. thought in vain that by assassinating Qasem Soleimani, it would stop his fight against terrorism. But in fact, the incident gave rise to a united front in the region against Washington, and that's what led to the humiliating ouster of American troops from the region.
Iran says it is seriously following up on its legal pursuit to prosecute those behind Soleimani's assassination. Iran and Iraq have recently formed a joint investigation committee, comprising judicial experts from both countries. Based on the latest findings of the legal team, more than 120 people have been identified in connection with Soleimani's assassination. Former U.S. President Donald Trump tops the list.
People say by assassinating General Soleimani, the United States tried to disrupt the regional fight against terrorism, something which they say put Washington on a confrontational course with the countries in West Asia and marked the beginning of its exit from the region. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
France has broken the European record for corona infections, and nations across Western Europe are also reaching new daily highs as the pandemic has entered a new but seemingly less deadly phase.
The coronavirus right now is exploding right now in France. It's very scary to see. I saw over 200,000 infections in France in one day. So I'm nervous. I'm trying to get back to the United States right now, and I'm waiting for a COVID test right now. I'm very nervous. I want to make sure that it's negative so I'm able to get back home.
France currently has over 4 million active cases of corona, but 99.9% of them are classified as mild. Daily deaths are half of what they were a year ago, while shorter quarantines are being approved. Cases are soaring in part because many more people are getting tested prior to holiday gatherings, but France's hospital admissions are just a third of previous peaks.